case of Graves versus the Commonwealth. Mr. Hayden, we're ready when you are, sir.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes.
5 minutes, yes, sir.
May it please the court, my name is Charles Hayden, and I represent Patrick Franklin Graves, Jr., who was convicted in a jury trial of one count of being the scene of evading the felony, evading and eluding. In this case, we have assigned this error that the trial court erred in overruling Graves' objection to Commonwealth's instruction number 7 regarding inferences to be drawn from a defendant's flight to avoid prosecution. This was very peculiar instruction to give in the context of this case. Certainly there are situations where it's proper to give a flight instruction that suggests consciousness of guilt, that somebody is lives all his life in Newport News, but the moment that this crime takes place, he suddenly moves off to New York or New Jersey and disappears, or in the context of the police approaching someone on the street to inquire later about and investigate an allegation, he runs at the sight of the police. That suggests a consciousness of guilt. It's an appropriate circumstance to consider in deciding the underlying charge. But here, in the context of this case, the instruction is given that you can draw inferences of consciousness of guilt and that it's some substantive evidentiary value on the charge of leaping.
It actually doesn't say that, Mr. Hayden. It says there is no presumption that can be derived from flight. It says that it's a circumstance that you may consider with other evidence.
Right, but this is really begging the question when it's the issue that the jury is being asked to decide is the defendant the person the officer saw departing in the car? And until it's first determined by the jury, which is the issue that the jury is being asked to decide, is Mr. Graves the person that the officer saw leaving in the car? So until once that determination is made, that's the case is over with. There's no further evidentiary value to be determined from. But because this is a charge of evading and eluding, we can take from the mere fact of the charge, that's evidentiary value that he committed the offense. That's in effect the reason this instruction has been given here.
Now, Mr. Hayden, following up on that, if I may ask, we obviously identification was an issue, but as I understand the record, flight itself was not an issue in this case. Am I correct on that?
Somebody fled.
So that being the case, if you assume for the sake of argument it was error to grant the instruction, given that flight was not contested, how is this not harmless error?
Because it's asking the jury to infer from the mere fact of being charged with flight from the scene of the crime that mere fact itself possesses evidentiary value, that one can infer increased likelihood of guilt.
Your whole argument is that flight is an element of the offense, and so there shouldn't have been a separate flight instruction. And if we agree with that and say, well, you're right, there shouldn't have been a flight instruction, I think what Judge Atlee is saying is how does this not become harmless when flight was not contested at trial and the whole issue was criminal agency? Who was the guy behind the wheel?
This instruction was a correct statement of law, but a jury instruction, even though correctly stating the law, should not be given if it's not applicable to the facts of the case. And this clearly was not. I'm unable to find any case of any Virginia decision of any court that says a flight instruction is appropriate in a case of felony evading and eluding.
We've got that, but the question becomes, what about harmless error? Why is it not harmless in the context of this case?
Because one cannot say with fair assurance after producing that the judgment of the jury was not substantially swayed by the error that they inferred from this instruction that suggests that you can draw an inference of guilt from the mere fact that the person Fled from the...
Doesn't say that. It says it's a circumstance you may consider along with other evidence. And if flight is an element of the offense, while it might confuse the jury or might overemphasize a point, the question is, how does it not become harmless?
I would point to what's the purpose of giving the jury the instruction to the jury, but to suggest that it carries some evidentiary value, that the mere fact of flight is a circumstance from which inferences may be drawn. Not a presumption of guilt, but inferences of guilt may be drawn.
But it doesn't establish identity, correct? Just that someone fled.
Right, but until it's determined that the defendant was the person that fled, clearly this instruction was inappropriate. You cannot give an instruction that the jury is to make an inference against the defendant when it's still yet to be determined from the evidence. The very question, the crux of the issue before the jury is this the person that fled? So I note the case that originally approved the giving of the, or the Anderson case I cited in the brief. They cite this context, the situation where it's appropriate to give a flight instruction. When a suspected person attempts to escape or evade a threatened prosecution, it may be argued that he does so from consciousness of guilt. And though that inference is by no means strong enough by itself to warrant circumstances from which guilt may be inferred, it is a circumstance to be inferred, is what they suggest. And they note also, an attempt to escape or evade prosecution is not to be regarded as part of the res gestae, the res gestae. Well, this instruction in this context is right part of the res gestae. It's the thing to be decided. Was he the person who fled? And until that's established, it's inappropriate to give this instruction. And so clearly in the context of this case, it was an unwarranted instruction, and we can't say that it didn't influence the jury conclude, that we're being instructed by the judge that this carries some kind of evidentiary value. The mere fact of that he's charged with flight from the scene of the thing, we can draw certain inferences of guilt from that. We can't say that the improper instruction didn't influence the jury. It was a wrong instruction, should never have been given, entirely inappropriate for this situation. If there are no other questions, I'll reserve the balance of my time.
Very well. Thank you. Ms. Campbell?
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Lauren Campbell for the Commonwealth. The defendant is asking this court to reverse the trial court's decision and find that it abused its discretion in granting jury instruction number 5. Jury instruction number 5 was not contrary to the law and the evidence.
But it was begging the question, wasn't it, to say you don't give presumption, but you may take into consideration the fact of fleeing to determine whether or not he's guilty of fleeing. It seems like there is a begging the question that would lend to jury confusion.
Your Honor, I don't think it would lead to jury confusion. The Commonwealth would submit the instruction is merely saying that the jury cannot assume or presume guilt based on his actions. However, they can consider circumstances. And then there was another instruction that talked about how you can weigh circumstantial evidence.
But the circumstances that they're being instructed on are certain part of the flight to decide whether or not he's guilty of flight, felony, eluding.
Yes, Your Honor. The Commonwealth recognizes that this case is a little weird in that this is where you would normally see this jury instruction.
I think it would be good to focus on harmless error.
Yes, Your Honor. The Commonwealth still submits that for numerous reasons in my brief, that it was not misleading, duplicative, and not contrary to the law and the evidence. But turning to harmless error, the instruction clearly was not harmless because, as this court has recognized, that the main issue at trial was the identity of the person that fled. And that was just completely covered in jury instruction number 8, which, because the defendant's sole defense was that it was not him, he was not present. The jury was properly instructed on that. There's no showing that the defendant did not get a trial on the merits that fully enabled the jury to consider the evidence, and the jury instruction 7 just was not prejudicial or misleading to warrant.
Felony eluding was the only charge that was being heard?
Yes, Your Honor.
So you would distinguish it from Terman?
Yes. I think this is different because, for a number of reasons, but the facts of this case are that you have an officer witness who's testifying to what happened. The officer testifies he was able to see the defendant clearly. He later identified him, and ultimately, through a series of events, the defendant was arrested. And at trial, this is what the officer testified to. And then the other testimony was from the defendant and himself, his witnesses, that he wasn't there, he was sleeping at the time. Someone else, a third person, must have been the person who did this. Third person was not at trial. I think that it was completely reasonable for the jury to find that testimony was not credible based on the officer being a more credible witness, and that this jury instruction really didn't touch on anything that had to do with the element that all that testimony was talking about. The finding of credibility goes to the identity of the person. It doesn't go to the element of actual flight. And I think that's why it's different, if that answers your question.
Thank you.
So again, because this instruction was not prejudicial, clearly harmless, the defendant had a fair trial on the merits. The Commonwealth would submit that if this court was to find that the instruction was improperly given, it was harmless error. And if the court has no further questions.
There are none. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. We ask you affirm.
Thank you. Mr. Hayden, any rebuttal?
I would just note, Your Honor, that in effect, it was noted that there was already given the instruction 5 concerning the elements of the offense of the evading and eluding. And this instruction was essentially duplicative and misleading to the effect that it's given that it's confusing the issue before the jury. I note, cited in the case in the brief for the proposition, when informing the jury, the trial court must be careful to do so in a manner so as not to mislead the jury. It's not only bad practice, but wholly unnecessary to give further instructions on a subject fully covered by other instructions. The proper instruction was instruction 5, the felony evading eluding instruction. The additional instruction of inferences to be drawn, that was the misleading part. And
well, it may have been bad practice, though, particularly since the fleeing part was not what was at issue. What's the harm?
I would simply reiterate that this suggestion is made to the jury by the instruction that the mere fact of being charged with flight from the scene of the crime itself carries evidentiary value, that certain inferences of guilt can be drawn from the mere fact of the charge. And beyond that, it's hard to say precisely what effect. It's hard to go delve into the minds of a jury, but it clearly was not an instruction that should have been given. Thank you.
Very well. Thank you very much. We'll come down to Greek Council and then take up the